I love God. I do. I do. And it's sometimes it's a battle, but when it was worship was going on, all of a sudden this scripture came to me because I was in a place of awesome presence of God. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about, oh, you're somebody special. I'm not saying that. What came to me was the awesome greatness of God. I mean, I was there. I mean, it was, and the scripture came to me in Isaiah. I had to look it up. In Isaiah 6, and he was, the prophet was, and he saw God, and he got on his face before God. He said, oh, I am a man of unclean lips. And all of a sudden I realized, and I forget this at times, that the only reason I'm able to enter into the very presence of this great and mighty God is because of the blood that has cleansed me. Listen to me. If God allows you to come into his presence, it's a privilege and an honor. And it's hard to stand in the presence of Almighty God. You recognize in that moment your worthlessness. As much as we try to build one another, to encourage one another, to tell each other what God has done for you and what the possibilities of a life living for Christ are, and we want you to be encouraged, we want you to be built up, we want you to be edified, and yet we also want you to be humbled by this great and awesome God. Because the world tells you, you deserve to be saved and go to heaven. God says you're going to heaven even though you don't deserve it. And so finding that key that where you find balance between recognizing your worthlessness but yet recognizing what God did with you and for you that elevates you to a place you could never achieve on your own. I don't care if you own the whole world, it'll still not guarantee your way into heaven because you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You are, as the word says, just unprofitable servants, although we are the children of God. Jesus said, let this mind, Paul wrote, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Jesus came, left his glory in heaven, and took on the form of man and became a servant. Relinquished all the rights and privileges of the Godhood and became a servant in the form of a man. Humbled himself. This isn't about church. It isn't about whether you go to church on a Sunday or Wednesday. It's about your relationship to your Father. Recognizing, and this is what a lot is missing in the church, is the fear of God, the recognition of the awesome greatness of our God. I'm serious. Once you get into his presence, no flesh can stand there. Because immediately you recognize in yourself there is no good thing except the Christ in you. And then you even lean even more so on the Christ in you because you recognize he's the one that brought you into there. He's the one that enables you to stay in there. And no matter how hard we try to live the life, no matter how much we look in the mirror and say, oh, you're not such a bad person. And we do. And again, finding that balance that you're not constantly beating yourself up saying, oh, I'm just a worthless nothing. I'm not saying that. You're worth so much that Jesus was willing to die for you. That's how important and worth you have such worth that God Almighty would come down in the flesh and allow man to destroy the temple that he lived in so that he could save them. You are very very, very of much worth, if that's even a way, the correct way of saying it. You are. If Jesus had to do it all over again, he would do it all over again. But he did it once. But we have to come to a place where we don't take it for granted. Oh yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Oh well, I'll go on my merry way and do my own thing. Wow. I sat there and I said, wow. And it's true. When you enter in through worship or praise, or you enter in through the word and prayer, however God at that moment allows you to enter into his presence, we enter in with the recognition, I shouldn't be here. This is only by God's grace that I'm able to come into this place. And because of that grace, you can stand. You can kneel. You can prostrate yourself before the one true God, the living God. That's awesome. That's awesome. We should never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. And the best place to live your life is right in his presence. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. We're talking about being in his presence continuously. Day after day, minute after minute, second after second, hour after hour, whatever it is, you're in his presence because the Spirit of the living God, the God himself, is dwelling within you. Whew. Awesome. And to think about it, not one of you did anything that was worth that. He came and dwelt in you. It was all him. It's all him. And he's the one who keeps you, by the way, too. Hallelujah. All of us would fall away and end up in hell, except for his grace and his mercy and his love.
Oh my God.
He keeps you. He keeps you.
Hallelujah.
You're going to have eternal glory because of him, not because of us. And once you get into that, you say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And David's... Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I did not choose you, he said, because you were strong. I did not choose you because you were worthy of my gift of eternal life. I chose you because I chose you. And I have the right to choose whom I will choose. And I will call whom I will call. It's not by might nor by power of man. And all those things that man has thought that he could do is nothing compared to what I am about to do. I will finish what I have begun. I will stir and I'll replenish. And I'll restore, for my gifts are eternal. Though there's been a separation for a time, I am about to restore that which seemed to be gone and that which seemed to be lost. Prepare ye the way. Prepare the way that I may come into your life and finish the work that I have begun. Prepare ye the way. You ask, how do I prepare the way? Love one another, love me, and the way is clear. Let me restore. Let me refurbish. Let me restore. For I am your king, and I am your Lord, and there's nothing too difficult for me. It's all possible if you will believe. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David, in his prayer in Psalm 51, if you want to go there with me quick, God gave me this scripture while we were worshiping too. And it's one that's well known by everybody, so it's not something that... But I want to point it out because we are talking about truth. Listen. God keeps reminding me of something also. That dream that I once had, I shared it with you here. You know, some things I'm waiting on God. Some things have already come to pass. Some things are in the process, and I'm waiting on God. There's some things I don't understand, and God's going to show me. And a lot of it has to deal with me personally, I think, but some also for the church. This one dream, and I'll remind you of it. I was in a car, and for whatever reason, I was in an old car. Maybe because I'm in an old body, I don't know. And we're traveling down the road, and a whole bunch of new cars all around. And we're traveling down the road, and we take this right. And when we took a right, right there was a gas station, which I equate to the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the fuel. Anyways, we go down, and there's buildings up here on a hill. I can still see them as plain as day. They're tall buildings. We go by one, and it's burnt down. And we go to the next one, and get out of the car. We go up into the building, and we're up there. And it was like a conference almost. And you had to sign in. So I'm waiting in line. And we get up there. Now, Diane's in there, but she's off doing what Diane did. And we went up to the person who was signing us in. And they said to us, "When do you want to take a break?" I said, "I don't know." So I called for Diane. "Diane, they want to know when we want to take a break." "Well, why would they ask me why they want to take a break? I don't know. I couldn't figure that. Haven't got that yet. I think I know it, but I'm not sure." But then I said something to the woman that was signing us in. I said, "Do you make room for the Holy Spirit?" And I woke up. I'm not sure what all of it is interpreted, but I'm bringing this to you from my personal perspective on it, especially that last part. Do you make room for the Holy Spirit? I want to ask you a question. Do you make room for the Holy Spirit? What do you mean by that? Do you make room in your day to hear from the Holy Spirit and what He'd have you do? To have a relationship with Him, like having a relationship with anybody, you gotta make time with Him. Diane's always complaint about me was I wasn't a talker. I didn't communicate well. She would always want to talk and, yeah, throw stuff around, talk about, you know, whatever. Now, I'm not one of those people. I'm just not. I never was and I never probably will ever be. You get me talking about Jesus, I can talk on and on and on and on and on. But I knew this, that if I didn't at least attempt to have a communication with Diane, we wouldn't have been married for 38 years. You understand? Communication just tells you, I care about you being part of my life. I'm interested in what you have to tell me. Are you interested in what the Holy Spirit has to tell you? Amen? How much time do you spend giving Him opportunity to have a conversation with you? Now, God, we know that when things are going bad or something, we always spend time seeking out God and needing comforting words, and we need help at times. But what if things are just going along normal? Fine. Everything's going ahead. You spend time talking to Him? Because He knows how much you are interested in having a relationship with Him by the amount of time you spend talking to Him. This isn't to make anybody say, oh, wait, I don't know. Will it make you think? I hope so. Maybe after the service, sometime alone, driving down the road or sitting in your own house or whatever, or wherever you're walking down the street, whatever, say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, forgive me. I haven't made room for you in my life because my life is so busy. I've been very busy just living this life down here. I know what the Holy Spirit's going to say to you immediately. You're right. But my hope is that you'll start living the life I intended for you to live. I want you to know something. His life is much better than the life you have planned for yourself. Amen? Wednesday, we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Again, we've been doing that for quite a few Wednesdays. This Wednesday, we talked about how to deal with worry. Anybody got worries? Should have been here. God gave a great message on worry. How to deal with it. Worry in your life will cause all kinds of physical ailments. And if it gets to the point, it can actually get to the point that people think about killing themselves because of anxieties and fears and worries that go on in their lives. And many of us just go along every day and then we never deal with it. So the little worry becomes a bigger worry because it's added to another worry. And pretty soon the worry overtakes us. And all we can think about is the problems we got. But God brings truth to us to set the captives free. If you're being held captive by worry, He showed us a way out of it. Isn't that amazing? Then we can decide whether we give room to the Holy Spirit or not. David in his prayer said this. He said, Father, you desire truth on the inward parts. Psalm 51. You desire truth on the inward parts. Why? Because truth to the outside does nothing for us. It's truth on the inside that sets us free. Many people get truth on the outward. They see it, they hear it. You know when somebody's speaking a lie to you. Amen? But you also know when worries are coming along and when all these things are happening to you and you can't figure out what's going on. Without truth on the inward side, you become captive to what's going on up here. Because the truth sets you free. It's not the devil that's got you. He's been defeated. Amen? He's been defeated. What keeps you captive is the lies that you hear every day of your life. The economy's never been better. Right? Right now, I mean, the unemployment's 3.9 or something to that effect. When the last time you heard that? Stock market's up close to 25,000. Right? Am I right or wrong? I don't know. There's more jobs now than there are people to fill the jobs. But all you hear is how bad the economy is. I just read an article about this guy that you would know if I named him. I'm not going to name him. And his empire that he's built is starting to crumble. And he's blaming it on the bad economy. Why? Because there's no truth to the inward part. It's only what he sees and perceives with his eyes to be truth. When you look with your eyes, the natural eyes, to perceive and to understand what truth is and what's going on with your life, you will justify it by someone other than the truth. And then you'll be bound. If you think that somebody else's fault that you're the way you are, You are being held captive by that lie. What others have done to you and said to you can lead you and guide you and get you to a place, but once you came to the cross, old things have passed away. I was crucified with Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Yes, you got there one way, but Jesus takes you away from that by the truth of his word and the truth of what he did at the cross, delivered you from that. And if you continue to live the lie, the truth has never entered into the inward parts of your life. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Go into Matthew 11 with me. I'm doing this. I'm doing it because this is what I believe the Lord would have me do it. This isn't how I intended this message to go, but I believe God's got a plan. Amen. Jesus came to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver those who are bound. When Jesus left this earth, he said, I will send another comforter, another helper to you. I will not leave you an orphan. I will not leave you without someone to help you live the life that I intended for you. Yes, Lord. He said to tell you this, because somebody's thinking this way, and that's fine. You're not entirely wrong. But he said this. He said, just because you have the Bible doesn't mean you have the truth. There's people who read the Bible every day but never come to the truth. The Bible said, Jesus actually said, they gain knowledge, but they never come to the truth. Because it's the Spirit of God who brings the truth out of the Word of God. Amen? Without the Spirit, the Word just becomes the law, impossible to live by. But with the Spirit, the Word becomes life on the inward parts. And when the life is in the inward part, it manifests outwardly. For instance, if you have the truth, it said by his stripes you were healed, but you don't have that truth on the inward parts, it stays outwardly and never transforms the body into healing. But when the truth of what happened at the cross at Calvary, how Jesus took all your sicknesses, all your diseases, and by his stripes you were healed. When that gets into the inward part, it starts manifesting outwardly. Your healing comes from within, not from without. And if you don't make room for the truth, which is the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, then you will never manifest it. Hallelujah. But that's not us, is it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need something from God. Hear me. You need something from God. Go to his word. Find the promise. Amen? Take the promise and plant it into good ground. How do you do that? Speak it. Speak it. That's the seed of the word. What's good ground? A heart that's already been replaced, the heart of stone been replaced with the heart of flesh by your salvation. As soon as you got saved, God removed the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. All right? Immediately. That's good ground. That's good ground. The Bible says at times we allow the ground to turn fallow. That means it's got to be turned over. That means you got to go in there and say, Lord, forgive me. I've allowed the seed of your word to lay fallow, the ground to lay fallow. My heart has not been working as it should because I have not allowed and made room for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what keeps it turned over, makes it constantly. The Holy Spirit wants the Word of God in there. And that's what he's doing. He keeps that heart turning and yearning and churning and yearning, churning and yearning. For what? More of God. The more the Word you get, the more wisdom that comes, the more knowledge that comes, the more you walk in the Spirit. Amen? So the seed goes in, and what do you do with it? You keep watering it. How do you water it? Speak it. Speak it by faith. Father, I know you have said, by the stripes of Jesus, I healed. I am healed. I speak to every cell of my body. I speak to every bone. I speak to every cell. And I declare you shall live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. I speak to every bone and I say you are strong and you are mighty. I speak to every organ in my body and I say you shall live and function as God commanded you to function. He created you to function perfectly and in order. I speak this to over my body. Every morning I take communion. Why? Because it reminds me what Christ did at the cross. I need to be reminded every day, by the way. Yesterday's manna is not good enough. I need fresh manna today. Fresh manna is making room for the Holy Spirit. When I confess him every day, I'm making room for the Holy Spirit to start working in my life. He's taking the seed that I planted in my heart, and he's bringing it to truth. God's got a plan for your life. It's a good, great, mighty plan. And I don't care how old you are. Moses was 80 when he finally started on down path with God's plan. I'm only 71. I got a long way to go. 9 years. I'm still operational. Amen? God is good. Hallelujah. Get ready. Make room for the Holy Spirit, my friends. Make room for him. I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of things going on. I know your mind's running all over the place trying to figure out how to achieve, get this done, get that done, still have your relationships with one another, and all these things are fine. Make room for him. That means make some time you can spend with him. Amen? It's worth it. I'm telling you, it is worth it. You know, the one thing about the Holy Spirit, he loves it when you ask him for help. When you talk to him and you ask him for wisdom, he loves it. That's what he came for. A car likes it. You know, if a car sits without being driven, it rots away. Usually it rots from places you can't see. A Christian who has not spent time with the Holy Spirit starts rotting away. And it's a place you can't see. Till all of a sudden it falls. Amen? But that's not for you. Because God is warning us, telling us, make room for me. I need time with you. Talk to me. Talk to me. Listen, don't go there complaining. Are you going to start talking to the Holy Spirit? Start telling him how much you love him. Tell him how much you need him. Tell him how much you want him to be part of your life. That's how you start. He already knows your needs, by the way. He's not sitting there saying, well, you just don't know what I need. Yes, I do. Because, see, I see inside, not just outside. Your problem is not outward. It's not manifested inward yet. That's why the outward is the way it is. Oh, by the way, yes, Lord. He said this. He said, listen, I am working. You just can't see it all the time. For those who are really giving him time and really going to him, talking to him, he said, I'm working. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disquieted. He said, I am working, but I'm working on the inside. And I got things I need to get ready. Because if I just did the outward, you'd walk away from me and forget all about it. We have a habit. If you get what you like, let me put it this way. You go out and spend $40,000 for a new car. How long before it just becomes a car and not something special? But if you save up to pay cash for that $40,000 car, all of a sudden it becomes special. Because, see, the world made it easy. They want quick everything. I see a car I like, I want to go buy it. Well, I don't have the money. Yeah, but I can get credit. So now you become a slave to the person you bought the car through. Those whom you owe a debt to, you become slaves to. The Bible tells you that. So you're no longer working for the purpose God intended you to work with, so that you can bless other people, because your debt is so great, you're working to pay off the debt, and you haven't got what God intended you to have to help other people. Your job was never meant to meet your need. Your job was meant to do the work that God called you to do so you can help other people. He said, I'll meet your needs. Don't you worry about yourself. That's part of what we talked about on Wednesday. Stop worrying about yourself. I talked to someone just the other day talking about retiring. They're thinking about it, and they go, oh, I don't know if I can retire or not. Well, did you pray? Did you ask the Lord? Did you the will of God, Holy Spirit? He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Holy Spirit, should I go out and buy that car? He'll tell you. Holy Spirit, should I miss church this morning because I got other things I want to do? He'll tell you. You understand that? He'll tell you these things. But if you don't ask, you don't hear. If you don't hear, when the time comes and you got a problem, it's hard to hear in the midst of the storm. Remember we talked about preparing for the storm. It's hard to hear that still small voice in the midst of a storm. Are you making room for him today? Are you spending time with him? He wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to know about him. He wants you to know him. Because one of the things he'll reveal to you is how much you're important to him. He wants you to know that God sees, that God knows, that Jesus hasn't forgotten. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to you, he brings it from Jesus. And guess where Jesus got it from? The Father. Everything comes out of the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you begin to walk with him, you start having conversation with him, Jesus starts to reveal to you, through the Spirit of God, the Father's plan for your life. And he starts directing your footsteps. And he keeps you from harm. He starts taking you. The other day, I'm driving down the road, and every time I get in my car, almost 99.9% of the time I get in my car, I pray, Father, I pray for your hedge of protection. I pray for your ministering spirits that surround my vehicle. I pray that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I pray that no harm comes to us and we harm no one. Or nothing, I say. And then I drive down the road believing that I have asked God's protection. That morning I'm driving down the road. I didn't pray. I couldn't have gone more than not even a quarter of a mile. Big truck runs by me, going the other way. Throws a stone to hit my window. True? Turned to the one that I was with and I said, I didn't pray this morning. I didn't. I believe it's real. I'm not just saying that because I hope it's something happened. I believe it's real. I'm asking the Father for something and I'm believing I've got it when I'm driving the roads. Why? Because the roads are dangerous today. The roads are dangerous today. I don't care where you go. I believe that if I ask him, if I make room for him, that he might tell me, don't go, wait. I have watched God. It's most amazing things. I said to someone just yesterday, I think it was, I was talking to Pastor Don Moore. I love him anyways. But anyways, I was talking to him, and I said, he said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine, you know, getting there day by day. And I told him, I said, you know, ever since this happened, Diane's going home, I haven't had a day off. I have not had one day off. Every Monday through Monday, God has me doing something. Last Monday, I thought, gee, I'm going to sit home all day. Everybody's at work. I'm all by myself. Yay, got the whole house. I'm going to be ring. We got carrots down here. 40 bags, each bag 50 pounds each. You want them? Yeah. So what did I do? Got the carrots. Then what did I do? I had to get rid of them. I go through Albany, giving it out in different places. I go all over the place, give all these carrots out. My day is almost taken up. I've watched God take care of me, not because of what I want or how I want it, but he knows what I need, and he keeps me busy. What a great God we have. He knows what we need more than what we need know what we need. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, did we get there yet? I apologize. I keep on talking. I'm almost done. No, I didn't even start the message, but I'm serious. I haven't. Verse 28. Come to me. What's he saying? Make room for me. Make time for me. That's what he's saying. Make room for me. Make time for me. Now, I want you to know something. This is not dependent upon you being saved or not saved. If he's saying, come to me, that means he expects you're already saved. Because the only way you can get to him is by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came to convict us of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The only reason we got saved is because the Holy Spirit told us we need a Savior. It wasn't because of somebody else told you that. Now, the Holy Spirit might have used them to tell you. But it was the Holy Spirit who convicted you enough that you sought out something to deliver you from hell and bring you to heaven. The Holy Spirit. So you can't go to him unless the Holy Spirit calls you to him. The world never comes to him until the Holy Spirit calls him, draws him. If he was strong enough, good enough, smart enough, if you would put it that way, to call you so that you could be saved, do you think he would call you so that you don't have to go through some things you go through? If he's able to redirect the path of your life away from hell to heaven, you think he could redirect your path from some evil, wicked plans and schemes of the devil to keep you in line with his will so that your life can be one of joy and peace and love and excitement and looking forward to a future filled with greatness and goodness? Absolutely. He's a big God. The Holy Spirit's calling you. He's calling you. The thing you got to do is say, yes, sir. What do you want me to do? When the Spirit of God fell on Paul in the desert, when he's walking on his way, he said, first thing he said is, what would you have me do? In our minds, every day of the week, we should be saying, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today? Amen? Why? He already knows ahead what's coming. He already knows what's planned for you. He knows what the Father's plan for you is, and he knows what the devil's plan for you is. He's not going to lead you down the path of the devil. Matter of fact, he's going to keep you from there. Come to me, he said, all you who what labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, know this, that he's talking about, not only is he talking about the spiritual side of it, because there is a spiritual warfare that goes on constantly, and it's always, and unless, you know, it could be just me, honestly. But a lot of times, I think about my salvation, and I think about getting into heaven, and I'm thinking, what do I have to do now? Oh, I missed it. I did something wrong. I missed it. That is not what this is about. God doesn't want you to labor under such lies and misstatements and misconceptions, and he doesn't want you to labor under trying to figure out how do I get to heaven. He said, my son opened that door. My son made that way. Don't struggle with that. Be at peace. God made a way where there seems to be no way. It's impossible for us to earn our way there, to work our way there, to keep our way going there. But in Christ, all things are possible. So as you give room to the Holy Spirit, he keeps revealing to you, Dave, stop laboring to get there. I already made a way. Your mansion's being built. I've already got the pathway for you. Don't worry about it. When the time comes, I'll be there to take you home. But the religious mind that you have, you had to work for everything in this life, and you're still thinking, what do I have to do to get there? And you labor under that. And what happens is a lot of people say, well, I can't live that life. I'm not perfect. I can't live up to what God wants me to do. I lie once in a while. I steal once in a while. I don't mean to do it. I don't want to do it. But I'm doing those things that I know that God says a liar can't get into heaven. And I'm trying to stop lying, but it's a hard thing to do, and I can't do it. So I guess I'm not going. So why even bother trying? God said it's not by your works. It's by grace through faith. I opened a way for you. Why do you need to keep that avenue with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit keeps reminding you of that. He keeps encouraging you along the pathway. He keeps you on that path so you won't fall to the left or the right, or you won't give up, or you won't just stop. He's there to comfort you, to help you, to keep going. It doesn't give us a justification to sin. But if we do fall, he's faithful and just to forgive us when we confess it. And we confess it because the Holy Spirit convicted us of the need to confess. So if you're not doing it by the Spirit, you're wasting your time anyways. Right? All right. All you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, not only is he talking about the spiritual side, he's talking about the natural side of it. I believe with all my heart that God has created every individual for purpose, not only in the spiritual realm, but in the natural realm. If you're a doctor, God needs you to be saved so you can witness to the people who need doctors. If you're a secretary, he needs you to witness to people who are other secretary, or your boss, or whatever. He created you. There's things that you guys do in here I'll never be able to do, and I'll never be able to reach the people who are involved there. But he wants you to understand, you're not there to labor to the point of exhaustion, where you're so busy and so filled. How many of you know that God will give you wisdom to do your job? He'll show you shortcuts. He'll show you avenues that you said, oh, I never saw that. You're growing and you're maturing. You're starting to see things and do things. Your bosses are taking, well, where'd you come up with that idea? God. God opens the door. You don't have to labor with this because God meets all your needs. Again, realize that. You're not going to end up on the streets. You're not going to end up without food and clothing. God's going to take care of you. God's got a way. Let's go on. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So in other words, God is saying, listen, if you want to see this life that I intended for you, you're going to have to stay yoked up to me. You know what a yoke is, right? Everybody knows what a yoke is. It's where oxen pulls a cart. They put a yoke on his neck. When a young oxen's being trained up, it's a double yoke. And the young oxen is yoked to the older oxen so that they train, because when the young oxen wants to go its own way, anybody in here like that? I want to go my own way. When you're yoked up to Jesus, what is the yoke? The Holy Spirit. The yoke is the Holy Spirit. When you're walking by the Spirit, you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because Jesus won't let you go there. But when you slip out of the yoke, you get to go any place you want. Do anything you want. Oh, it feels good. I'm going over here and eat this green grass. Except that's where the wolf is. And the wolf loves young oxen. But it looked so good. It looked just right. Everything seemed to be perfect. And the Holy Spirit's going, don't go there. Don't do that. No, stay over here with him. Don't go over there. Notice what he says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for what? Your souls. What are your souls? Your mind, your will, your emotions. This is where the battle runs every day of the week. This is the battle. You look at the TV. You listen to the news. All this stuff that's going on. You listen to other people talk. You're watching other people the way they act. And your mind is getting in confusion. And you're starting to doubt. You're looking at another Christian, and that Christian is talking wrong. They're acting wrong. They're doing all these things wrong. But you don't understand the Holy Spirit's working with them too. And they're watching everything you're doing wrong. And they forget the Holy Spirit's working with them too. Don't be confused. God isn't mocked. Sooner or later, as we go along through life, the fruit of our lives reveal the truth of whether we're walking in the Spirit or in the flesh. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not difficult. Walking in the Spirit is not difficult. Walking in the Spirit just means that you acknowledge there is a Spirit and you're open to anything he asks of you to do, and you will follow the path led by the Spirit. Well, what if I don't hear from the Spirit? You will. Don't ever think that you go looking and asking that he doesn't reveal himself. He always reveals himself. Always. Always. Well, I only got 5 minutes. Get up a half hour earlier. Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet. Turn off whatever you need to turn off, the radio, whatever it is. Turn it off. And say to the Holy Spirit, I want to spend time with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to walk by the Spirit. I'm tired of living this life in and out. I want to be assured where I'm going. And I'm not just talking about the heaven. If you have that, not that assurance. If you don't have the assurance of entering into heaven, ask the Holy Spirit for the assurance, because he'll give it to you. It's already there. Don't ever doubt God's ability. Don't ever doubt the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you walk away from it? You make that decision. My answer to that always is this. Don't walk away from it. Never get to a place where you're just giving up. Never get to a place where the Holy Spirit is no longer important to you. Never get to that place. That's not a good place to be in. Jesus came. He brought the truth to us. The Holy Spirit came, revealed the truth to us. reminded us of what he had to say. He reminded us. He keeps it fresh in us. God knew that in these last days that there would be a lot of distractions, there'd be a lot of things going on around us, and a lot of things that we're going to be involved in, and a lot of things that are going to want to take our attention and our time. But he also tells us, make room for the Holy Spirit. Make room every day of your life and invite him to come to you to lead you and guide you. And he will do that. He will do that without a doubt. And the more you invite him, the more you have a conversation with him, the more you tell him how much you want him and love him and desire his presence, the more you're going to get involved with him. And the better that abundant life becomes, the better comes the abundant life. All of a sudden, the world doesn't become such a scary place anymore. It becomes a place of light, not darkness, because the light's in you. You're not looking for the light out there. You're looking for the light in you. The Holy Spirit waiting on you. Waiting on you. He's ready. He's willing. And he's able. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We praise you and give you glory. We honor you, Father God, because you are God. We recognize, Father, it's by grace that we're able to enter into your throne room. We ask, Father, in this day and this hour, Father, to help us to make room for the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for this, Father, that you're doing a work in us far greater than we can do. We thank you, Lord, you have not quit. You have not left us. You have not forsaken us. You are still here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you in. Show us the way. Guide us, lead us, teach us. Help us to understand. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.